Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Knowing our identity in Christ, and I've entitled Session 1, Enemies of God. I got good news for you. All the other messages in this 8-part series are good ones. But we didn't start off in a good position. So we got to cover where we came from before we can cover where we're going. And so we're going to do an 8-part series on our identity in Jesus. And I'll just give you the titles. The first session, Enemies of God. The second one, Redeemed by God. Then Servants of God. Then Priests of God. Then Sons of God. Then Friends of God. Then Family of God. Then Bride of Christ. These are going to be the 8 sermons that we're going to do in this series on our identity. And what is so important is that we begin where we began so that we can understand where we came from and really where the majority of the human race stands right now. And that is this reality, we've been called enemies of the living God, and that's how this thing starts. So as I just was thinking about this series, and I've actually been thinking about doing this series for maybe about 2 years, and I've kind of been just milling on it a little bit, here's part of where I've been coming from. Identity is so crucial to every person, nation, business, ministry, whatever. Identity is super important. We're living in an hour right now where there is such an identity crisis from every angle. There's so many, and they don't know who they are, let alone who they are in Jesus. A lot of them are lost. They don't know who they are as a person. They don't know who they are in this world. They don't know who they are to their family, to their culture. There's just such a crisis in the land of people reaching to try to figure out who they are. And our culture, and I'm not blaming America, I just happen to live in America. Wherever we would live, we would find this to be the case. Our culture is trying to identify, become the cultural setter for the people in that nation. We live in a country right now that has got so many messages that are blasting us, trying to tell us who we are, trying to tell us what's acceptable, what's good, what we're to be about. You know, I'm grateful for some aspects of the American dream. I'm grateful for some of them. The idea of, you know, of having loyalty to your family, you know, and the idea of being well provided for and you know, even part of the American dream, at least used to be, that you were a member of a local church. That was kind of part of it back in the day. I like some of that. What I don't like is some of the way that the concept of the American dream has been sold to us to tell us this is who you were created to be, and if you don't do these things, have a high-paying job, have a big house, have a this, you know, have whatever, if you don't have these things, that you have no value. Well, if we look to the world and to our culture to define our identity, we are toast. Because the one who's in charge of our culture right now is the devil. The one who is setting the pace for what normal looks like is the great deceiver and the liar. The one who is infiltrating the culture of America and the cultures of the earth in order to wrongly identify the people of the earth is the great accuser of the brethren, Satan. And I'm just looking at this going, if we are looking to the world, to our culture, even to our family, if we're looking anywhere but to Jesus to try to figure out who we are looking at a bag of lies. And we begin to take one at a time, and they build on one another. And this is the reason people are so messed up. The issue of identity, the issue of not knowing who we are, and as that affects the lost world around us, but I'm most concerned about the church, about how it affects the people of God, because we live in that same culture and we're called to be in it, but not to have our minds trained by it. We're called to exist in the culture that we were planted, but we're not to be people of that culture, operating, thinking, striving for the things that culture strives for. But if we don't have our identity plumb-lined, we will default at whatever it is that's around us. We will go with the flow. You know, when you are in a mighty rushing, I'll admit, I was the kid back in the day, before Hurricane Harbor was Hurricane Harbor, and it was wet and wild. I was the kid who would spend all day in the lazy river going against the current. That was me. All day, that was me. And then every now and then I'd see if I could let go of the wall and I'd try to swim forward. And of course, I'm back about 50 yards. I have to start all over. That was me. I was a kid trying to swim against the current, just taking it one step at a time. And, you know, I mean, I wasn't very strong. I was a pudgy little kid. It'd take me all day to get around that thing once. Well, that's the point, because it's so much harder to go against the current as it is to just go with the flow. All these happy people all day long, I'm like, no, I refuse to have fun. I'm going to go against the current. And I'm just gonna make my own way. And everybody that was just in the flow, it was just so much easier because you're just kind of going with it. Well, that's an apt picture of what we got to do in this culture. We are outnumbered, kind of like one person in the lazy river to everybody else. We are outnumbered to try to set the pace and to find our identity in Jesus as opposed to finding our identity in members of the opposite sex, in our career, in our family, in our culture, in our gifts, our strengths, our talents, our hobbies. As opposed to finding our identity in those things, you will find yourself a minority because everyone around you is thinking that way. And unfortunately, so much of the body of Christ is too. And I think part of it is we don't clearly lay out our identity in Jesus. We don't have a clear vision of what the Bible says about who we are, plumb lining us. It's the reason we're going to do 8 sessions. We're going to say, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. We're going to do it for weeks and weeks until we've plumb lined ourselves according to what the Word of God says about who we are, our identity, the way that we're to relate to God, relate to one another, and the way we're to process life through the lens of the identity that God has claimed for us. So I look at this and go, I think this is a real big issue because right now I think confusion is rampant about who we are, about how we find our worth, about what we even care about. I think this series, as we look at these different topics, I think it's going to change the way we think about a lot of things. Because we're going to see it through God's lens and go, well, God says he cares about this. And God doesn't really care at all about this. And yet this is what I've been caring about. This is what I've been carrying in my heart. I've been carrying these desires, these aspirations, these concerns, these worries, these fears. I've been carrying these things. And yet God says, don't worry about these things. Focus on these things. This is who you are. This is what you're called to be. This is what you're to be about. And as we see that, I feel like it will have a power in our hearts to plumb line us. I don't think I'm going to introduce too many brand new ideas. What I think I'm going to do is start little fires in all of our hearts on concepts that we have a little bit of clarity on already. There are ideas that we've already heard about, but just to unpack them and to develop them and give us some scripture to be able to focus on and think through and give ourselves to, that's my hope. So the purpose of this series is to seek out what the Word of God says about who we are, what the Word of God says about his purposes for us, which he's called us to, which he has bought us through salvation for. You know, there's nothing worse than, you know, I'm thinking about being 7 on Christmas Day, and you get the toy, the brand new one, the really cool one, the one they got from Radio Shack. You boys know what I'm talking about. You get it, and you're all excited, you open it up, and it doesn't work. Criminal injustice. It's the worst thing to get something, to buy something. Now it's yours, you're all excited, and it doesn't even work the way it's supposed to. I think so much of what's happening right now is the Lord has bought us, but we're not operating like we're supposed to. It's almost like we're a little broken. We're not operating the way we were intended to, and yet he bought us. And I don't see him as a 7-year-old, redhead throwing a temper tantrum. That was just me, I'm sure. But what I do see is I see the Lord's longing for that thing that he purchased to be able to operate into its fullness, for that thing that he bought, that he loved, that he cherished, that he opened up as a package, as a present to himself, to be his and to be fully functional the way that God created us and bought us into. I don't know about you. I don't just want to be saved. I want to walk with God. I want to know him. I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just come into the kingdom and then camp out for however long I've got and then show up before the throne and be the one that has to say, yeah, you know the talents you gave me? I buried them and did nothing with them. I want to be one that all the days of my life knows God and presses into the purposes of God. And the only way we can do that is if we can really understand the grand design. If we can actually begin to enter into why we're here, the purposes that the Lord has us as connected to our identity. He's laid out these points of our identity that we might see them and respond to them rightly. So, every believer, it's critical that we understand rightly who we are before God. That's what this comes down to. That's what this whole series is about, is understanding rightly who we are. Right now, I believe every one of us in this room, unfortunately, believes some lies about who we are. Believes some lies about what God has said we are. Believes some lies about how God thinks about us, how God feels about us, how God responds to us. I believe right now that we are believing lies, and those lies are holding us back from the things that the Lord wants to do through us. We've been given unfathomable access to God. You guys heard those session titles? Redeemed by Him, servants to Him, priests of Him, sons to Him, friends of Him, family of God, the bride of Christ. These are terms that the Lord has given to us of His own choosing. Like, He thought it up. He's sitting around going, I want to figure out a way to give them more than just salvation. I want to give them more. I want to find a way to give them more of myself, more of me, more of my heart, more of my affections, more of my thoughts. I want to figure out a way to get as much of them into me and into my purposes as possible. God has given us unfathomable access. I mean, it would be one thing if somebody who wasn't really all that cool, who, you know, maybe never, you know, bathed and, you know, didn't have anything going for them, if they were like, and they're all, you know, no teeth and talk funny, if that person was like, I love everybody. You're my sons. You're my bride of Christ. I mean, it'd be if some weirdo was proclaiming all these things over us, it would be one thing for us to hear that and just not be all that enticed by it. But God, who is love, who is the creator of all things, the God who is the only one who can write the rule book for reality, this God said, I want them. I want them to be mine. And I want to draw them deeper and deeper into my heart and into revelation and relationship with me. This God is powerful, and He's chosen to use His power to give us unfathomable access to His heart, to His emotions, to His nature, to partnership with Him. It is unthinkable that He would do this, and He has of His own choosing. No one won the arm wrestling match with God and made Him have to do this. He chose. Each one of these titles of these sessions I'm looking at, I'm going, it's unbelievable that you did that. And then there's another one. It's unbelievable that you did that on top of the last one. And then another one. It's unbelievable that you did that. You just keep finding ways to give us more access to your heart, more access to you, the living God. You know, I love you guys, but you all can't have all the access in the world to my life. I mean, there are some things I don't tell anybody but Amy. There are some things I don't tell anybody besides Amy and a few other close ones. There's just some things that are just, they're just precious privileged access points, vulnerability issues for me. The infinite God made Himself fully available to us. And this is who we are. We are those that get to access the great resources and treasure trove of God's heart and His emotions. So that's what we're doing. This knowing our identity, this is what it's all about. Well, with that being the starting point of an introduction for the series, because that's tonight's intention, is introduce the series and then to spend the least amount of time on the one negative that we have to start with, or none of the rest of it makes any sense. And so the message is entitled Enemies of God, because we were once enemies. Let's put up those verses, Romans 5:8, Colossians 1:21. This is what the Word says. I mean, this is, hopefully we're encouraged, because man, this is a tough word to hear. This is the Bible, this is the Word of God, the wisdom of God written through the hand of Paul He says this, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Enemies. Enemies of God. I just think about this and I go, before a person comes to know the Lord, categorically, they are an enemy of God. I don't know about you. I'd rather be an enemy with anybody but God. I mean, Donald Trump. I'd rather be enemies with Donald Trump than God. I'd rather be enemies with like some crazy king from the olden days, from Nero. I'd rather be enemies with Alexander the Great than God. I mean, because God has infinite resources to do terrible things to me if he decided he wanted to. The greatest man ever, the most powerful person in all of history, calls everyone who is outside of his son an enemy of God. Far from him, distant, enemy. That was our standing. For all those around us, I just think about our friends and our families that have not yet given their life to Jesus. They are called an enemy of God. This is a really big issue. You know what? I'm just thinking about some of the ones that I know, some of the ones that I just love, and they don't know Jesus, and they have absolutely no revelation of who they are before God right now. They think they're fine. Don't most lost people just think they're fine? That's fine. Everything's okay. No, you don't understand. Right now, you're an enemy to God. This is a really serious issue. This is not a, oh, it's just okay, God will just get over it kind of a thing. He calls you his enemy. Think about how this affects evangelism. Think about how this affects the status of your loved ones, your friends, your coworkers that don't know God today. They right now, standing before God, are an enemy to him. I mean, if it wasn't in the Bible, we just could not say this. This just sounds so intense. It's what the Word of God says. Colossians 1:21 says, same thing. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. You were far from God, alienated from him, and enemies. It's important to me that we understand where we came from, because the graduation of where we were to where we are right now, the gap could not be any bigger. The chasm between where we were and our standing before God, called an enemy of God, could not be any more nearer than it is now. You know, when I was in high school, I had a very annoying habit. The habit was to be annoying, of course. That's the habit. And I was very annoying. What's funny, though, is I can remember a handful of people who started off and they absolutely hated me. They just could not stand me. And I made it like my mission in life to get them to like me. And there are a few of them that by the time I graduated high school, I could have called them some of my best friends. It's just so funny. So funny that you could go from enemies like, oh, if I saw that dude in a dark alley, I would just beat the snot out of him and throw him in a dumpster. You know? Going from that to, I love this guy, man. I would stand with this dude, do whatever. Such a gap, a transition from being an enemy to becoming a close friend. Well, as big of a gap as that is between whatever relationships I've got, I can think of a few of them right now. I'm just having some sweet memories right now in my head. As sweet of a deal as that is, it does not compare to the distance of the gap that we got to jump. A trillion mile canyon across, jump. From being an enemy of God to now having destiny in him, being called his bride, being called his friend, being called his family, his son. And this is the gap that right now the majority of the planet has yet to leap. The majority of the planet right now stands as those that are alienated and enemies of God. I just think about our friends and our families. We've got to tell them about Jesus. And more than that, they've heard the name. I bet you don't know anybody in your close circle that hasn't heard the name of Jesus. But do they know they're an enemy of God right now? You know what? Far better for them to hear that and have to think through it and ponder it, as opposed to go their whole life thinking, I'm okay, I'm cool, I got it, everything's all right. Far better for them to hear the word of God says, until you submit your life to Jesus and follow him and give yourself to him, he calls you his enemy. Oh, but he very much desires that you would make that jump. But until you do, you're standing before God as an enemy to him. Think about how that's going to go when the clock runs out. Now, this is a really important reality point. However, our standing before God, for those of us, even while we were enemies, this is the beauty of God. He is totally unfair in the most positive sense. While we were enemies of God, he did the unthinkable and sent his son so that he could get his enemies to become his friends. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us so that God could go get enemies and make them buddies. So that he could go get enemies and make them sons. Enemies, and even call them the bride of Christ. Who is this man? The one who would, while we were enemies in our minds, enemies in our hearts, enemies in our actions, we were totally enemies, far from God, alienated from God. While we were as far away from God as we could be, he looked at us and he said, I want the enemy camp, and I will send even my son so that I can get those enemies of mine to become my friends. This has no parallel on the planet. I was thinking about this as I was preparing, and I was like, it would be like two rivals CEOs. Be like back when Steve Jobs was still around. So you got Apple and you got Microsoft, and the two of them are going, you know, toe-to-toe, and they're coming out with different products and fighting each other. And they're like well-known and they're big time. It would be like Steve Jobs going, you know what? I'm gonna open up Apple stock and I'm gonna sell them to the CEO of Microsoft. It's Bill Gates. I'll get Bill Gates and I'll just say, you know what, Bill? I know we're enemies, but I just wanna give you great access to me and my wealth and everything I've got. I'm gonna sell you Apple stock for a penny a share. Come on down. And not only that, I don't care if you even buy it all. You can have it all. I'm just thinking, what sort of a person looks at his enemies and comes up with the best deal for those that are the furthest from him? I would just think like it would have made so much more sense in my mind to do something nice for the angels. Hey, you guys have been with me. You've been doing this whole kingdom thing. You praise me all day long. It's pretty sweet. Jesus, do something cool for them. Let's do something for these angels. What kind of a person looks at his enemies that hate him and says, oh, I will have them as mine? This is a violent and passionate God. This is a man who will not be refused. He sends his very best to total wickedness and depravity. He says, I will have them as mine. They are my enemies, but I will have them. I just am so blown away by how he treats his enemies. But you know what? In the analogy that I gave about Steve Jobs calling up Bill Gates and saying, hey, let's settle our differences. I want to sell you some penny stocks called Apple. In that situation, Bill Gates still has to receive it. He still has to say yes. That's what's so crazy about this. God set himself up for a gamble. He goes to his enemies, and you just imagine there's such hatred from one enemy camp to another. And to the enemy camp, he gives them the best deal they could possibly, you know, hear, an offer they couldn't refuse, but they could still refuse it. It's not even a guarantee that they would say yes. He makes this offer to his enemies, yet his enemies still have to decide one person at a time in the enemy camp. One person at a time, they still have to decide to take God up on his lavish offer. And you know what? To date, the majority of the human race has not taken him up on the lavish offer that he's made to his enemies. I'm just blown away by this incredible kindness, this vulnerability, this gamble on mankind that he would give his son, and yet people could still choose to say, you know what? No, I'm good. I would rather be an enemy of God than receive lavish mercy. I would rather be an enemy of God. He stacked it so unfair in our favor. We are without excuse. I mean, we are without excuse. He has made the deal so stupid good. And all we have to do is receive the penny stock option and say, yes, this unbelievable mercy which you have offered me in Christ to give myself to him and for his purposes, it's good. I'll do it. And for those of us who have, through nothing of our own, we make a jump across the largest chasm. It's that moment in the Matrix where he's trying to get across the building and he makes it. It's this chasm jump of a trillion miles, and somehow effortlessly, though we will have always failed before, when we receive Jesus in a moment, by grace, through faith, we make the jump, and now we exit out of being enemies and enter into every sort of inheritance imaginable. It's wild to me. Well, before we did this, we were dead in our transgressions. Let's bring those verses up. Romans 6, 23, Ephesians 1, 2 through 3. Why were we called enemies of God? I mean, you know, I knew some of you before you came to know Jesus. I mean, you were bad, but you're not that bad, right? Well, the word says we were. It says we were filled with sin and that we were due a penalty for the sin in our members. Romans 6, 23 says the wages of sin is death, and if nothing atones for that sin, there can be only one response, and that is that sin will cause us separation from God, will cause us death. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And all of us, even my sweet wife, who I'm convinced never did anything wrong, even when she was lost, she was just so good and just loved people and she's so sweet and kind, even her, it says, lived among those who were disobedient, who followed the ways of this world at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its sinful desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Do you know what your identity was 1 second before you gave yourself to Jesus? Deserving. Deserving of wrath. And when I think wrath, I just sure hope it's a 2-year-old in a Darth Vader costume that I'm going to get wrath from. I mean, I can handle that kind of wrath. And he just whacks me with the fake lightsaber. I'm okay with that. It's not coming from a 2-year-old. It's coming from God. And it says we were deserving of it. 1 second before we gave ourselves to Jesus and submitted to his purposes, we were deserving, according to God's perfect justice, wisdom, understanding, deserving. It is right. It is due. It is justice that you get wrath from God. We have got to understand that inasmuch as God is a God of love, God has much wrath on the disobedient. Those are not opposing concepts. They are two aspects of his nature. That those who do not give themselves to Jesus, there is no response from God's heart except wrath. Ugh, it's intense. Dead in our transgressions. We were once totally separated from God. Let's get those verses up there. Ephesians 1, 12 and Ephesians 4, 18. Here's what the Word of God says regarding us being separated. It's not just that we were dead in our transgressions. It's that we were far from Him. Where we started off, for all of those who do not know the Lord, our starting point is far from Him. Ephesians 1 says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. There are so many right now that we know, friends of ours, family members, co-workers, they are completely without hope. The self-help course won't fix it. Dr. Phil has got nothing for them. It says they are without hope. They are without God. They are without citizenship in the kingdom. They have nothing. It says, and all of us started this way. We were once separate. We were separate. We have so much to rejoice about right now. In all the other sessions we're going to do in this series, we're going to talk about how God has taken us from that place of separation and brought us into incredible promises. But we've got to understand something. We started off very, very far from God. Ephesians 4 says, we were darkened in our understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in us due to the hardening of our hearts. Darkened in understanding. You know, we get so used to being around lost people that we forget you're standing next to someone who is darkened in their understanding. You forget that you're standing next to someone who in the spiritual realm is 1 trillion miles away from you on the other side of a chasm. We forget that they are separated from God, far from God, and totally hopeless. The hopelessness, this is such a joy in sharing the gospel, in sharing who Jesus is. It's the hopelessness. It's like they have absolutely no hope. And even if they think they have hope, God says they don't. They're wrong. The millionaire, the movie star, the whatever, the one that's got it all, they have nothing, and they are totally hopeless and far from God and separate. They have no hope in this life. For us to share the message of who God is and the ability to change their identity from being an enemy of God that God is still pursuing while they're in darkness, from being an enemy of God to becoming a friend of God, a member of the body of Christ, a child of the King. This is the good news. This is the hope. And every one of us started off separate. Think about that for a minute. Take a moment and reflect. Remember when you were separate. Remember, you didn't know it. You were darkened in your understanding. You did not know God. There was a time. Oh man, I remember the darkness of my thinking. And you didn't even know you were in darkness until you saw light. Until you came into the light, you had no idea all the creepy crawlers that were around there in the dark place that you were at. Then you started to be able to identify me and go, oh my gosh, I used to do that. I used to think that way. I used to love that. I used to process life through that lens. I used to give my approval to these things. That we were walking in darkness, separate from God. In Him there is no darkness at all. We once lived in total darkness. Ephesians 5:8. Colossians 1:13, 1 Peter 2:9. Look at this. It's not just that we lived in darkness. Paul actually calls us darkness. He says, for you were once darkness. What like an awful quote from a movie kind of a concept. You know? You are the light. You are darkness. I mean, like, this idea of, like, fully demonized and in full darkness. And Paul says, yeah. Don't you remember? That's what you were. Your identity in Christ, before Christ, was darkness, separate, far. But He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness. I'm just thinking about it. We were in a dominion a minute ago. We were in a dominion. We were in the hordes of hell and didn't even realize it, blind. I mean, we were totally inoculated to the environment that we were in, unaware of where it was that we were, because where we were 1 minute before we came to Jesus was we were completely entrenched in the dominion of darkness. Now think about your lost friend right now, lost family member, and look at them when they smile. Think about it. Picture them smiling right now. That smile, right now, while they're doing that smile that you're picturing in your head, is coming from the dominion of darkness. That smile's not real joy. That smile's not real life. If they don't know Jesus, they are still entrenched in the totalness of darkness. They are in hell and don't realize it because they've got their mind, you know, somehow plugged into a machine. It's like, again, the Matrix again. It's like they're allowing themselves, they've been fed a lie. They've been brought into a consciousness that makes them think they're okay, and they're actually still in hell. They're in the dominion of darkness. This is their identity. Listen, until Christ changes an identity, that identity is absolute. It is steadfast. It is firm. They are darkness. They are in darkness. They are far from God, and they are called enemies of the living God. This is such a serious issue for the lost around us right now. They're in terrible darkness and have no idea that they are actually living in hell. And they won't know until the day when they show up before the throne, and then it'll be too late. Listen, this isn't a game. This isn't a scare tactic. This is reality. I would rather know reality. Honestly, even when it's tough, I would rather know the real deal. I'd rather know the truth than be surprised by totally crazy things that were there the whole time that I had no idea. I would rather know reality. Here's reality. Right now, the majority on the planet, the human race, the majority right now are currently in the dominion of darkness. And without spiritual eyes to see, or even some good Bible verses to remember and remind yourself with, you sit next to them in the cubicle. They're living in the dominion of darkness. They're in chains in hell like you were. This isn't a game. This is Christianity thing. It's not like, well, it'd be good, you know, if you'd become a Christian. This is an issue of heaven and hell, an issue of identity, of being seated before God or being chained up in hell for the rest of their eternity. This is real. The dominion of darkness currently has them right now, like it had you. I remember when it had me. I remember when somebody came and shined the light on, and I looked around and went, ah, I'm in hell. And I had to realize where I was and come up out of the dungeon and give my life to Jesus. I remember the shock. It was shocking to me. It was astounding. I thought, I had no idea I was in bondage in the dominion of darkness. And I had a revelation of it and realized I need God. I need God. Him who called you out of darkness. What a picture. It's the voice of Jesus able to penetrate hell. All these people are chained up, and he's calling to them, come to me, come to me. And they're kind of waking up from their slumber. Come to me, come to me. I'm calling you forth out of darkness. I have redeemed you. I have come for you. While you were still my enemies, while you were still in the pit of darkness, I have come for you. Come to me. Come to me. Calling us out of darkness. And yet every person must still make the choice to respond to that call. God desires that none would perish. He calls out to all mankind. But it is the choice of the individual of whether they're going to receive that or not. But you know what happens when we tell somebody about the journey? Just use yourself. Hey, you're the new guy at work, right? Yeah, yeah. Hi, my name's Brad. Cool. Nice to meet you. Yeah, did you know I was once in the dominion of darkness? Hi, my name's George. Yeah, yeah, I was in the dominion of darkness. Let me tell you about it. Once I was an enemy of God, and I was bound in a pit in hell. And I was far from God, and I had no choice, no hope. I was totally without God, separate, and I had no hope. And it was going to go bad for me for the rest of my life. Did you know that? I'm George again. We just met. Yeah, I'm just telling you my story. I'm just telling you a little bit about myself. I was once in darkness. And bro, you are too right now. You are too right now. Because until your nature is changed, you're currently chained. And you're in that gloomy pit right now. And I know because I was just like you. But the joy of knowing God when he came and he brought me out of that slimy pit. And then he gave me a new identity and he set me in heavenly places. This is what he wants for you. Our old identity was pretty bleak. It was pretty dead. It's a story to share. If you get a revelation of how bad off you were 1 second before Jesus, you'll be able to share differently. People don't hear us because people don't understand their current state. People don't hear us because we don't understand their current state. We've not thought enough about our state 1 second before Jesus. It wasn't like just a lucky thing you gave your life to Jesus. It was absolutely game-changing, eternity-altering, nature-shifting. Chained up in a dungeon of hell, seated before the throne of God, called holy and washed and cleansed. If we begin to understand where we came from, our identity, I don't mean you were a sinner. I wouldn't even talk about all the sins you did. I would talk about your position before God. This is who I was. I was an enemy of God. I was one who was depraved in my mind. I was one who was separate, alienated. I was one who was in darkness, and I loved darkness, and I was darkness. I mean, you just sharing your testimony of who you were, you're going to have a hard time arguing with what you say about yourself. And then give them the word that says you're in the same position because you've not yet entered into the newness of life. And the default, unfortunately, we wake up in this life. We come into this life far from God, an enemy of God, and we must come to Him. The old man, Ephesians 4:22. The old man that we were taught with regard to our former way of life to put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. The state that we began with, who we were positionally before God, this old self, the self before Jesus, the reality before Jesus, this dark one, we've been taught in Christ to put it off because it's being corrupted by sinful desires. This is the call of God, that we would be those that in the process of being called out of darkness into His glorious and matchless light, that we are called to be a participant in the process. And we're being taught to regard our former way of life, to put off that old self, and to no longer succumb to the corruption of the deceitful desires. You know, even as a new creation, even as one whose heart has been shifted, even as one who's been given a new identity before God, I will confess to you that just like you, I have to struggle with the old self. That there is still a battling until we receive the resurrection. As long as we're in this body of death, Paul calls it, as long as we're in this body of death, we have to continue to fight it off. Because you know what happens to many? They go back to the old self and they reposition themselves as enemies of God. We cannot give in to the old self. It's not a one-time decision that we make before God. It is a walk with God that we put off the old self so that we don't become corrupted again by its deceitful desires. Every day I am thrown deceitful desires. And it's my duty to God and my joy before Him because of what He's called me into to say no to those sinful desires, those deceitful. You know why He calls them deceitful? Because we think if we just go for that, if we just do that, if we just give in a little there, we think it's going to go well for us. It's deceitful. It's a lie. The Lord's desire for us is that we put off that old way and that we walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come." He's a new creation. The old is gone and the new is here. A new creation that we now, positionally before God, when we come to Him, when we give our lives to Jesus, we transfer our old position before God, our old ID card. How'd you like this one? Nice picture of you, big smile, enemy of God. It's written on the identification card that you check in at work. We trade in the old ID card for a new one that says new creation in Christ. We've become a new creation. We've got to understand what this looks like. The old has gone, the new has come. Before we knew Christ, 1 second before, we were the old thing. We were the enemy of God reality. We were the enemy of God creation. When we came to know him, by his mercy, by his grace, he washed us. It's the reason that a person that just gave their life to Jesus, their countenance looks different. It's a reason because they're a new creation. They're new. They're not the person they were a minute ago. The new has come. The old has gone. They have transferred their identity from enemy of God to now son of God, daughter of God, child of God, family member in the kingdom of God, friend of God, priest of God. Their identity has changed because they are no longer the old thing. They are now a new creation, something new. I am so excited about this series because we're going to get to talk about that new creation. We're going to get to look at what it means to be new in him. We have been given a new identity, and now Romans 6:17, and we'll finish with this. Romans 6:17 says that Christ made a way for us. God made a way for us through Christ, rather. And that now we have a new identity. And the new identity, the new creation, is called a slave. A slave to righteousness. And when we unpack that in the next 7 sessions, we'll see that's actually a good thing and not a bad thing. We have been called a slave to righteousness. That's part of our identity as sons of God. A slave to righteousness is part of our identity as the family of God, as friends of God. Because here's the thing, righteousness for those who have been made righteous is not a burden. It's our joy. It's our blood. It's our way. Here's what he says. Paul says, but thanks be to God. I just like that line. I was saying it a couple times a day. I was walking around, I was saying it all dramatic, you know, like one of those voices, like when they read the Bible, you know. But thanks be to God. You know, just saying it, thanks be to God. That though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching which was entrusted to you, and you have been set free from sin. Good, I'm glad, I'm free. That's right, and now you're a slave to righteousness, and this is a good thing. What we're going to do in the next 7 sessions is we're going to unpack that. What it means to be a slave to righteousness as pertaining to our identity in Christ. Because God doesn't just call us a slave. He calls us a son. He calls us the bride of Christ. He calls us many things, a priest. And these terms are all part of what it means to have been bought and no longer a slave to sin, but now a slave to something else. And this something else is the thing that really our spirit was even created to be able to be. A slave to God, a slave to righteousness, and no longer a slave to the things of this world. I want to pray for us. And here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to ask the Lord, just in little moments, have little dialogue moments with the Lord. Lord, begin to reveal to me more of my identity. So that's what I'm going to pray for us right now.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.